With that slight stumble, I'll hand over to the boss.
Well, I hope you're sitting comfortably while I go through these intimations, because there's quite a few of them. We'll try and be as quick as possible. Tea and coffee at the close of service, as usual. There's a retiring offering today, and the stands are out in the vestibule for the collections. The Church Magazine articles are being are now accepted for the December issue, which is going to be a joint issue with Ardeer, and they can be either given or emailed to Alan Kerr, and the email address is there. And today, the important thing is that today's the final day for doing that, although we'll have something to you by the end of today, Alan, isn't it? There's a joint Kirk session meeting. There'll be a joint Kirk session meeting on Wednesday, the 13th of November, and this time, because it's alternate, one church and then the next, this time it's in Ardeer, 13th of November, at the usual time of 7 p.m. Then there's the Livingston Church Christmas Fair, Saturday the 23rd of November, from 10 till 2, and delighted if people would come along to the Christmas Fair. It'll include a variety of stalls, a cafe, a Santa's Grotto, and will be open from 11 until 1. That's Santa's Grotto. The fair's bigger than that. Also, appeals for various things. They're looking for new and unused gifts, toiletries, cosmetics, and jewellery that can be recycled for a gift stall. Second-hand or unwanted books for a bookstall. non-perishable grocery items with an important codicil with a best before date of at least February 2020. And if you have any of the above to donate, just put them in the boxes that are at the table in the in the vestibule. Then Catherine Reid has prepared a quiz to help make some money for the Christmas fair. The quiz is called In the Garden and costs £1. And quizzes will be on sale from Catherine at the end of the service. Then other Christmas activity that's going on in the church, the Livingston Players with the performances of Mother Goose. Tuesday the 3rd, the Wednesday night is sold out, but tickets still available for the other three nights. I think Ross is rushing me here. Remember, it's an old man that's reading these. Tickets on sale for the three remaining nights at the end of the service. Adults £7, children £5. Dave, he's on holiday until the 5th of November, and during the period of his holidays, it's Scott Cameron that will be covering. Then next Sunday, an important intimation, next Sunday is shared worship at 10:30 for Remembrance Sunday down in Ardea, and that will be followed by a memorial service at the War Memorial at 1:20. That's us. I did say to Margaret I was going to do this to save her having to go through all these intimations. So what did she do? She gave me an intimation. And her intimation is that the 1st Stevenson Boys Brigade are holding a Christmas shopping night in the High Kirk Hall on Friday the 22nd of November from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. There's a £3 entry, but tea, coffee and mince pie for that. And then a final intimation that I've been given is for, there's a meeting for Christmas fair after the service. For all the stallholders and anyone willing to help, there'll be a meeting here in the church following worship on the 17th. I don't need to introduce our preacher this morning, just enough to welcome Margaret to Livingston and to say we're delighted to have you.
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you. It's the only time I've ever seen somebody breathless after doing the intimations. Well done. It's lovely to be here. So thank you very much for your welcome. We've had the intimations. I look forward to my cup of tea afterwards. It says in James chapter 2, "Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to possess the kingdom he has promised to those who love him?" So let's start this morning by praising God, singing "Now Thank We All Our God" with hearts and hands and voices.
Thank you.
let's pray. Lord, we're here this morning to praise and worship you. As we gather together, we know that you are here with us, here in Stevenson, here in this church, and we pray that you are also here in our hearts. You are a God of power and might. You reign over earth and heaven, and yet you are a God of love, and you watch over every one of us. To you, O God, be all the praise and the glory. Lord, we come before you this morning with heavy hearts, remembering the things we have done which have saddened you. Your love for us is so great, and yet sometimes our love for others is not. We try to live the way you want us to live, showing love to those around us, those we meet in daily life, taking time to talk to them if they're lonely, or helping them in a practical way. However, sometimes we forget, or we say something, or do something that hurts someone else. We are quick to judge, and we forget to care. We are sorry, Lord, if we have hurt someone or failed to help them, and we ask for your forgiveness. You sent your Son to die so that we could be forgiven. You sent the one who didn't sin to die for those who do. We thank you, Lord, for that great sacrifice, and ask you to help us to be more like him as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed. I'd now like to ask Ken up, and he'll do the readings for us this morning. Thanks, Ken.
The readings this morning, first one comes from Luke 15, verses 1 to 10, the parable of the lost sheep. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Comes from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. The Good Shepherd and his Sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Amen.
Thanks very much, Ken. This is great, this service. Intimations done by Sandy, reading done by Ken, and I'm now going to hand over to the Jam Club, and they're going to tell us what they've been practicing. Louisa.
Last month in October, we started off by talking about how you would speak to people, mainly because last month was Mental Health Month. And I think it's quite important that the kids that come to the Jam Club know that they can talk to anybody about anything. And obviously we then went on to talk about how we talk to God and about prayer. So then we were talking about the Lord's Prayer. And then we decided that we would learn the sign language for the Lord's Prayer because not everybody knows it. So we've been practicing. So the three of us are going to go through it first, and then I have a video. So don't think you're getting away with it, because you're going to have a shot. Now the video it's quite quiet and it does go fairly quick, but you can all hear me and I'll be telling you what's happening next.
This is the Lord's Prayer, the modern version, in British Sign Language. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well done. Do you think they're not bad? Well, we'll do it one more time and then we can make sure that they're doing it right.
This is the Lord's Prayer.
Thanks very much, Leila. Thank you. I think that was great. I think sometimes when Louisa said she was going to do that, I think sometimes we say things and we don't think about what they mean. And so I think it's great that you've looked at it and you've talked about it and probably talked about what it means. And now you've done it in sign language. So well done. I'm really, really impressed. That was great. Did you know there was a horse in the Lord's Prayer? My mum, when she was about six, said to her mum, "Why is there a horse in the Lord's Prayer?" And my gran said, "There isn't." But like any six-year-old, said, "Yes, there is." And she said, "Well, I don't think there is, but tell me why you think there might be." So she did that bit. It changed slightly there, but she said, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our dead horse." So, for 6 years, she had listened and heard this being said in church, and she thought it was a dead horse.
Well, amazing how
looks like.
That was as near to hours as you could get.
Many versions of that, absolutely.
And that was on the British side one, because of course the Flapperton and the other ones, but I thought that was the easiest one.
So it's great. So my mum learned that there wasn't a horse in the Lord's Prayer, and you probably now all know just exactly what it's supposed to mean. And when you say it in church every Sunday, you'll understand now. We'll not make you do it in sign language every Sunday, okay? So thank you very much for that. We're going to sing a song following the Jam Club, and it's Jesus' Love is Very Wonderful. I know the actions, you know the actions. Please feel free, don't make us the only people doing the actions. Do you want to come up and do the actions? Yeah? You want to? Yeah? That'll be a yes from Natalie, and I kinda don't think so from Dungan. Right, you can come and help me, and then we're not the only ones, there's three of us now. I need to switch this off because I can't sing, you see. Give credit to Ardian and Livingston that everybody took part in the songs this morning. So we'll say a fond farewell, enjoy yourself, have a good time. Now I suppose I'll have to do some work. So we're going to continue our service by singing the hymn Holy Spirit Hear Us, which isn't in Mission Pre, so I'm hoping that you found it somewhere nice. Holy Spirit Hear Us. To that stage in life when I often lose things. I go up to the bedroom, stand at the door, and wonder why I'm there. Can't remember why I went up. Or, usually before I go on holiday, I put things away safely, in a sensible place. And when I come back, I have no idea where it is. It seems sensible at the time, but it's not sensible anymore. Or I just plain lose things. Where are my keys? Where's that letter? Where's my mobile phone? I do love mobile phones because you can actually phone them and they ring and you know where they are. So I usually kind of, when I've lost it, I usually stand at the bottom of the stair and then when it rings, I know whether I have to go upstairs and find it or search downstairs. And if it doesn't ring at all, I then go outside and it's usually in the car. So I can see a few smiles and nods, so perhaps it's not just me that's got to that stage of losing things. And last week, I lost a notepad, which I'd been using for the children's church and the youth club, and I really needed it because there was a lot of things in it that I needed to complete what I was trying to do. And I had no idea. It took me about 2 days to find it. Not that I looked for it for 2 days, but about 2 days later, I suddenly remembered I had been gardening. I had emptied everything out of the back of the car to take stuff to the tip, all the sort of old branches and stuff like that that weren't going to go out with the brown bin. And there it was. I knew exactly where it was at that point, and I was delighted to find it, and I could get on with what I wanted to do. So when I read this passage, that was the idea that struck me, the idea of lost and found. Now, I know that many people will have preached in this passage, and they would be talking about people who are lost in sin and who were brought to repentance, and that's absolutely correct. But I was just thinking about that feeling lost, which sometimes we feel. Sometimes we just feel a bit lost, and that was what I wanted to explore this morning. The passage starts with the Pharisees tutting yet again about Jesus talking to all these undesirables. And that appears a lot in the New Testament when he's talking to the sinners, the tax collectors, the lepers, these people that the Jewish people would not associate with at all. So they're at it at the start of the passage. Why is he talking to them? And not only is he talking to them, but he's actually eating with them. Now, to put a bit of context on that, the Jewish people believed that if you were offering hospitality to someone and ate with them, that you would be becoming unclean. And we know about all of that from the Old Testament. So, but Jesus came and reversed so much of what the Jewish leaders believed, and this time he does it again. And he reverses it by showing that he is interested in these people. He shows that they matter just as much as anyone else. And there's lots of places throughout the New Testament where we read things like, I haven't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance, or the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. In these two passages, and the one that follows it, which is the story of the prodigal son, what Jesus is trying to say to the Pharisees is God loves everyone. Everyone matters to God, not just the good and holy, or those that think they're good and holy, but also the lonely, the lost, the rejected, and the ones that normally people would look down upon. And that's what he's trying to teach to them. So let's think about what these stories tell us about being lost. The sheep and the coin were physically lost, nowhere to be seen, a bit like my notebook, nowhere to be seen. Now, the sheep might just have wandered off, as sheep do. It found a bit of nice green grass and just followed it and followed it. You've seen them in the fields and they just keep following what they think is the best bit of grass. And it just went step by step, bit by bit, further and further away from the rest of the flock. It doesn't actually say whether the sheep knew it was lost or not. We don't know that. But it certainly was separated from the rest of the sheep. And that's the first bit of lostness that I wanted to talk about, because I think that that sometimes happens to us. Gradually, bit by bit, we sometimes drift further and further away from God. There's times in our lives where we feel right there, where we feel really close to God, where we feel he's right there with us. We pray to him, we're reading books, we're reading our Bible, we're attending church, we're really, I suppose in modern terms, we're in the zone. And we really feel close to God. But I know it's happened to me, there are times when we feel a bit more distant from him. There's times when we gradually drift a little bit away from him. And it's so gradual that it's maybe a week or 10 days later and you suddenly think, there's something missing. And I really think that is what triggers something in myself. So I'm as guilty of this as anything. We've stopped praying because life's become so busy and we've stopped having that daily chat with God and we've missed out on reading the Bible and we suddenly realise that it's 10 days down the line, it's 2 weeks down the line, and we actually have separated ourselves from God and we do miss that. And then how do we get back? We don't quite know how we've got to where we are. We feel lost, we feel lonely, and we're not sure how to get back into that really personal relationship we had with God, feeling close, feeling part of that family. I remember speaking to someone in Cote Bridge where I used to stay, and they said they had, for many, many different reasons, not been at church for about 2 or 3 months. They had work, they had somebody in their family who was ill, they had lots of other things that intervened, a holiday intervened, and they suddenly realised that they'd got out of the habit of going to church, and then they didn't know how to go back. What would people think if they walked through the doors? Oh, where have you been? Now, we all miss church for various reasons, holidays, trips, whatever, but she had felt that she was so far away she didn't know how to get back. I think the really important thing is the message that we get from the story. The sheep and the coin were lost, but somebody took the time to find them. And that's what God will do for us. So there's that sort of lostness where we've drifted a bit. And then there's that whole lostness sometimes when life just hits us with, perhaps we're worried about our own health, we've lost our job, we're worried about friends' health, or perhaps just life is really, really busy and everybody seems to want a bit of us and we don't know where to turn and we feel a bit like a hamster on a wheel. And we feel overwhelmed and lost. And I think sometimes when that happens, you just don't know where to start. And it's at that point I know that I think what you need is someone to talk to. Someone who will try and help you sort things out in your mind. So, let's go back to the story then. We're thinking about us being a bit lost, a bit distanced from God, or just lost in the trials of life or the harassments and all the things we have to do. One of the important things in this story is that the sheep was lost, but the shepherd went on to find it. He didn't say, do you know, I've got 99. A sheep's a sheep. It's wet, it's cold, it's dark. I'm never going to find it. So I'll not bother. I'll go to the market and get another one when I need to. 99's fine. He didn't. He went out. The sheep was important to him. He found it and he brought it home. When we're feeling lost, God doesn't kind of look down and say, well, do you know, I've actually got an awful lot of people to look after and I'm a bit on the busy side, so I'll not bother. This story reminds us very much that every one of us is precious to God. God loves every one of us. He wants every one of us to be in his fold. He wants every one of us to be close to him. So he will come out and he will find us wherever we are. He seeks us, he finds us, and he brings us back home. And when we're back home, he will listen to us and he will give us the strength to deal with what we're facing or give us the ability to sort out the way forward. I think we all know that picture of the shepherd with the sheep round his shoulders. So the shepherd brought the sheep back on his shoulders, on his strong shoulders, and brought it back home and rejoiced that it was home. God will seek us, find us, and bring us back in his strong arms. And there's many, many pictures of that in the Bible. His strong arms, and he will bring us back and give us the strength that he has, the courage that he has, and the peace that he can give us to deal with what we're dealing with. The other thing you notice about the story is that the sheep didn't find itself by its own way back, and the coin didn't jump onto the table. So that tells us a little bit about how God comes for us. The sheep get back by dint of the shepherd. We get back because God will come and seek us. We try to sort things out for ourselves. When things go wrong, sometimes we just try and go it alone. I do. I'm quite sure many people do. You've got a problem, you try and sort it out yourself. It gets a bit more complicated, you try and sort it out yourself. And I've certainly found that really, I get to a point and I think, why am I trying to do this on my own? And I stop and I have a chat with God and see if he can help me to sort it out. So, the sheep didn't get back to the fold of its own volition. It didn't find its own way back, but it did find its own way back when the shepherd sought it out. And that's the same for us. If we make space for God in our lives, he will come, he will seek us out, he'll find us, no matter whether we're caught up in our worries, and he'll bring us home safely, because each of us, as I said, is precious to God. We're going to sing very shortly, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," and there were a couple of verses that I thought were really, really important. "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, his goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever." A bit like talking about the Lord's Prayer there. Sometimes we sing things and we just sing them and they're nice and they make us feel good, but sometimes we want to look at what it actually means. He is ours forever. There's absolutely no doubt about that. What a great verse to remind us that we have a God of love who looks after our every need. His goodness faileth never, and I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. So he's a God of love, he looks after our every need, and he's there for us forever. And then in verse 3, this is going back to one of the things we said about straying away from God. "Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed." That's true. "But yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me." That's what it's all about. Whether we're lost because we've strayed from God, or whether we're just feeling lost, alone, overwhelmed, and don't know where to turn, we can turn to him. And if we don't turn to him, he will eventually give us that nudge and bring us back, because he has promised that he will be there. "Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me." I think they're two powerful verses which give us that confidence that we can know that we are precious to God and that he will seek us out and give us that nudge, that reminder. I always feel when I get to that point of thinking, why am I trying to do this on my own? Why did I not actually think about sitting down and having a chat with God and praying about it? And I just feel so much better once I have, because it's a calmness and a peace, and we eventually get things sorted out. But he gives me that nudge to say, come on, I'm here. I'm here for you. Why don't you talk to me? He will find us. He will bring us back into relationship with him. He will carry us on his strong shoulders, and he will rejoice when we are home. He gets us back in track, and then when we're back in track, we have God's love in our lives again and in our hearts, and we become different. He loves us unconditionally. As we heard in the second passage, he loves us to death because he sent Jesus to come down, show us how he wants us to live, tell us a little bit about what God's love is, but he also came to die for us. But although he loves us unconditionally, he sets us a challenge because he also wants us to love others. So that's our challenge this morning as we leave. With the confidence of his love for us, our challenge is, how much do we love the lonely and the lost? What can we do for the people here in Stevenson? As a church, but especially as individuals who walk these streets and to meet people at the bus stop or in the shops or in Morrison's or wherever. What can we do for the people here who are lonely, worried, feeling lost, feeling they have no future? Jesus came to seek and save the lost. God seeks us out, finds us, and gives us comfort and strength. Can we do that for those in our community? Can we be his hands and feet here in Stevenson? Can we show his love for the lonely and the lost in what we do? To God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be all honour and praise, now and forever. Amen. I mentioned the King of Love, My Shepherd Is, so you're going to have to sing it now. And I would ask you just to think of some of the words and see what they say to you. The King of Love, My Shepherd Is.
Thank you.
let's worship God in the giving of our offering. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your goodness and love towards us. We thank you for the mercy you have shown to us, even when we haven't deserved it. May we in turn show love to those around us. We thank you for the love of family and friends, and for the fellowship and love we share here in Livingston. In times of trouble, Lord, you give us strength and you guide us on our way. You see us and you find us, and you bring us to safety and a life with you. Lord, we pray for your church here in Livingston, that we may be able to reach out to the local community and by our actions and by our words, give them a glimpse of your love. We pray for your church throughout the world, that they may begin to make a difference, turning hate into love, so that bit by bit, the world will be freed from bitterness and strife and begin to live in peace. We pray for all those in positions of power, that they will be guided by your Spirit as they make their decisions. The world seems on such a knife edge just now, so we pray that you will guide everyone in the decisions they make and guide us to a better world. Lord, we pray for those in trouble just now. Bring healing to those who are sick. Bring strength and comfort to those who care for them. Be close to those who are lonely and those who are struggling at this time. Surround those who mourn in your strong and loving arms and bring them peace. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our offerings brought to you in love. We pray that they will be used to further your work here on earth. We dedicate not only our money but ourselves in your service. Fill us with your Spirit and renew us as we go out into the world in your name. Amen. And we close our service today by singing "To God Be the Glory," which I think we'll all know.
Thank you.
assurance of God's love give us strength and comfort, and may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Change things slightly. I know that Dave's been using peace to you. However, I wanted to finish the service today with let there be love shared among us, because we were talking about God's love and God seeking us out in love. And I don't know if at this point the Bible goes out. Does the Bible? It stays in. So I won't say as the Bible leaves the church, we will sing. We will just sing, let there be love shared among us.